Soup on Sundays, an interesting twist on the $100 hamburger. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Gordon Campbell, who, in addition to being president of the Virginia Aviation Council, is the proprietor of Campbell Field Airport on the eastern Virginia coast. And we're going to talk a little bit about not only the airport, but its history and some things about Virginia aviation in general. First of all, Gordon, thanks very much for taking a few minutes out. I know you just got off the lawnmower.
Yeah, I sure did, Paul. And thanks so much. It's great to be here with you.
Well, tell us, first of all, a little bit about your story. You're not originally from Virginia. And is this a retirement effort for you, or did you move down to make this a full-time business venture?
Really neither. It's I always compare it to a guy that buys a boat to go fishing in, or a guy that buys some land to hunt on. I basically bought this airport just to enjoy and for recreational purposes, and that's what brought me down to Virginia. I'm originally from the New York, Connecticut area, had a career up there, and basically found this airport down on the eastern shore of Virginia. Literally bought it the next day after I saw it. And then it goes from there. We finally moved down, my wife and I moved down here approximately 4 years ago to the eastern shore of Virginia to sort of make it a full-time hobby here. So I don't derive much in the way of income from the place, but it is a lot of fun to have the airport here and keep it alive.
All right. Now, this was not just any grass strip made on a farm field. This has some history behind it.
Well, it does have some history. I guess you could say that almost any strip of this age will have a history, but it is Darrell Kellum started the field in 1933, and back in 1936, 3 years after he opened the field, he basically opened it for himself. He had an aircraft that he would fly out of here, and in 1936, he went to the state, and it became a public use. He applied for a public use license, which was granted to him, and it became public use back in 1936 and has been public use ever since then.
Now, a couple weekends ago, you had a 75th anniversary camp out and fly-in. How did that go?
Well, it... I guess Mother Nature doesn't like the 75th anniversary, because we actually... The 75th anniversary was officially in 2008, if you... add 75 to 1933, you come up with 2008. So it I tried it for two weekends back in the fall of 2008 and got rained out both weekends. Well, we had it this weekend, and unfortunately Saturday proved to be sort of a wet day, but we did get a number of aircraft in, but nowhere near what we normally get in for even our Soup on Sunday events that I hold here. But we had a nice crowd, we had a nice camp out, everybody had dinner, lunch, breakfast the next morning, and then we did a Soup on Sunday on that Sunday. So it wasn't a big crowd, but it was sort of a nice crowd, a nice relaxing crowd. I was able to enjoy myself a little bit more than when we have hundreds of people in here. So it was still a lot of fun despite the lousy weather. And the neat thing was is my wife brought a big cake, a beautifully done cake, and I'll have a picture of it on my website that sort of said Kellum Field, Campbell Field, you know, 75 years of aviation history. And it was a real neat thing with the cake there.
Now, the Soup on Sunday events you hold are done on a fairly regular basis. It's kind of an interesting twist on the old $100 hamburger idea. Tell us more about how that came about.
Well, exactly. Well, I bought this place, and I figured if I have to mow the grass, I might as well mow it for everybody to use rather than just myself. It doesn't take me any more work to have 100 planes land here than if I'm just flying myself out of the strip. So I was just sort of brainstorming ways to get people to fly in here, and I sort of came up with a Soup on Sunday idea, and as a way to have people come in on Sundays. Maybe I would have done it on Saturday if it rhymed better with Saturday, but it rhymes better with Sunday, so I did it Sunday. And then I just do it from noon to 3 o'clock on Sundays, I come down in the morning, set up, basically we do steamed hot dogs, a soup, which lately has been almost exclusively chili, because that seems what the pilots like. Every time I pull out another type of soup, they don't like it, and they would rather have the chili. Chili is very filling. So we do hot dogs, chili, assorted other desserts and things like that. In the summertime, I'll when the corn's available, we'll cook corn on the grill. And we regularly, I would say on average, we get 20 to 25 aircraft, and we've had as many as 50 aircraft in. And we even regularly will have 30 aircraft that come in from pretty much all up and down the mid-Atlantic coastline, and as far as New York and as far as South Carolina even. So we get a real nice crowd, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just to get everybody in their planes and flying.
Is there? Do you think there's a shortage of events like this? Because, you know, I can't think of anything that happens on a regular basis in my area, for example, at any of the airports where this sort of thing goes on. If at best, in many cases, it's an annual event like a pancake breakfast.
Yeah, a lot of the EAA chapters have the annual events. You know, when I try to plan things, I look at the calendar, and geez, it seems like the calendar is always full of events, but they're all different sorts of events. I mean, I try to keep my events very simple in that they just are to enjoy yourself. We don't have vendors at the events. We don't have, there's just no rhyme or reason to it. You come here, you eat a little food, you have a good time, you meet other pilots, you go fly around a little bit and have fun. And so you're right, and people do sort of count on the soup on Sunday. We have, I'm always surprised at how many first-time pilots we have in, but we have probably about half the people coming in are repeat people coming in to soup on Sunday. There's quite a few people who've been in 10, 12, even more times than that. And like you said, I do it, host the event almost every Sunday. What keeps me from hosting is if the weather is bad or if I have to be out of town for some reason, if I'm called away from the area here. But otherwise, I try to have it. And if it's a beautiful day, I definitely have it. And I put it on my website, put it on the answering machine and all that.
Well, Gordon, life sounds pretty much perfect. I know it's not. And when we come back from the break, let's talk about the one issue that I see that is facing your airport. My guest is Gordon Campbell, president of the Virginia Aviation Council and proprietor of Campbell Field Airport on the Virginia Shore. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WASS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin WASS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Gordon Campbell of Campbell Field Airport in Virginia. Let's talk about the only real big issue I can see facing your airport right now that makes it anything less than a totally idyllic rural setting is you have a set of power lines right off the approach end of runway 21 at about 60 feet in the air. How long have they been there, and is this an ongoing battle?
Well, how long is this interview? Because I hope you have a lot of time, because it's a long and convoluted and a very interesting story behind the power lines, and one of these days I'm going to document the whole thing. But basically, I bought the airport, closed on the airport in January of 2003. Literally a month later, I heard of the local cooperative power company, ANN Electric Cooperative, of their plans to install a 69 kilovolt power line, a feeder line going to a new substation, and I heard of the plans that they were going to run it just south of the airport. I tried to fight it to a certain extent, but honestly, I wasn't maybe as knowledgeable as I should have been at that point, just buying the airport. I think that looking back now, I probably could have defeated it if I knew what I know now. But there was lots of errors on the FAA made some critical errors. The county made some errors. The electric cooperative made some errors. And it's still something that is still in the works to have this all resolved. The field is still very functional. We can get almost all single engine aircraft, but it's not fun having those at the end of the runway. They're approximately 60 feet tall, and they do restrict the landing distance when you are approaching from the south and landing on runway 03, and likewise when you're taking off of runway 21, they restrict how much runway you have.
Well, is there a resolution that will make everyone happy that you could see actually happening? I mean, what would the possibilities be? Moving them or?
Well, to bury 69 kilovolt lines, the power lines, the attorneys. My attorney wrote a letter to the power company, and the power company basically responded and said, if you'd like to bury them, it's $550,000 to bury them, which sounds like a lot of money. It's probably close to being somewhat accurate. To bury 69 kilovolt lines is quite expensive. However, the problem that I have is that Campbell Field Airport was erroneously listed as a private use facility at the time. The FAA made a mistake, and I have a letter from the FAA acknowledging that they made a mistake. And when A&N Electric Cooperative filed the notice of proposed construction, they basically said there is no public use airport within the 12 miles. And as a result, the notice of proposed constructions were basically rubber stamped as not being a hazard to air navigation. If it had been a public airport, if it had been listed correctly as a public airport at the time, it would have been had a hazard designation. So I have asked the FAA on several occasions and have not had a response yet, but I'm still working on that, to basically throw out that determination. It is allowed by law that they can, if there is new information that comes to light on a previous determination, they can go in and redo the study. And, I'm not asking them to necessarily say that it is a hazard. I'm just saying throw out the old study, redo the study, and see what you come up with. Chances are they'll come up with a study that will say that it's a hazard to air navigation. But that's basically the real short story in all that. It was that the FAA back in 2001 erroneously listed this airport as a private use facility when there is no documentation backing up that it was indeed a private use facility. And until the FAA shows me that there is some documentation showing the change in status from public use to private use, I'm saying it's always been a public use facility. I don't care what the maps say, the maps were wrong.
Well, listen, before we run out of time here, let me ask you a little bit about your job as president of the Virginia Aviation Council. You appear to have dived into the local aviation scene with great enthusiasm when you relocated.
Yes. I'll tell you real quick about that. The past secretary at the time basically sent out a letter and said, we don't have a president. If anybody wants to step up to the plate as a president. And I thought to myself, well, I'm new to this area. Let me see how I can get involved. And I basically wrote him a letter and said, look, I don't need to be president, but if you'd like to have me come and volunteer for you, I'd love to help out. And so they called me up. I came in, and before I knew it, I was president. It is an all-volunteer organization, and I know after serving with them that firsthand the toughest part of it is getting volunteers. It's very difficult to have people step up. That's a real challenge all the time, getting the number of volunteers that we need. But it is a great organization. We're an all-volunteer nonprofit organization in existence just to promote aerospace education. And we just had our 12th annual Virginia Regional Festival of Flight, as you probably are well aware of.
Yeah, in fact, that's how I got your contact info. I was talking to Dee Whittington. Is Virginia a great place to fly as a general aviation pilot? I know we've heard about the Virginia Aviation Ambassadors Program that encourages visiting all the public use airports in the state.
I think that Virginia is a great place for general aviation. I've been happy as anything down here. I think the Department of Aviation, led by Randy Burdett, is very forward-looking and forward-thinking, and they develop these innovative programs such as that Ambassadors Program. And it's just a fun place. If you go down to, I mean, a perfect example, if you go to Sun and Fun, go to Oshkosh. Who's there? It's the Department of Virginia Department of Aviation. You don't see, you'll see North Carolina's often there, but that's about it. Very few states take such an active role in their aviation resources in the state, and so they've just done an excellent job promoting aviation in the state, and it makes it fun. They have all these programs. If anybody who is a pilot in Virginia, it makes it sort of a family type affair.
I've been looking around your airport with your webcam. Your website, CampbellFieldAirport.com, has a webcam that has a pan, tilt, and zoom, so you can look around at a bunch of different places on the airport. I have to ask you, what's the deal with the door on the pilot's pub?
Oh, the day. I know, it looks pretty bad. I actually, you know, I just walked out earlier today, and it's on my list of things to take the door off. It was, at some point, I hit it with a mower. It was open, and it swung open, and I got a little too close to it, and I sort of damaged it a little bit, so it's falling off its hinges. But that's, you know, just typical of all the things that need to be repaired around here. There's always a whole long list of broken things around here that need to be repaired. So that'll be taken pretty soon. But it wasn't a pub fight or anything like that that happened. The pilot's pub is sort of a play on words. There's really no alcohol ever in that place, but it's a fun place anyway. So there was no pub brawl or anything like that.
All right, my guest has been Gordon Campbell, president of the Virginia Aviation Council and the proprietor of Campbell Field Airport in Virginia. And you can find out more at www.campbellfieldairport.com. And we'll encourage folks to come out for soup on Sunday. It sounds like a good time.
Well, thank you, Paul. Yeah, come on out, fly your planes, and have a good time. It's every Sunday from noon until 3 p.m. And one other thing, I'm starting up another thing this summer. It's called Planapalooza. And Planapalooza is going to be sort of I'm coining it as the 2009 Summer Flying Series. It's an overnight party and camp out for all things that fly. I have three dates set through the summer. Two of the dates are set in stone, Saturday, August 1st and Saturday, August 29th. I'm putting in one more date, but I haven't set that date yet. So there's going to be three Saturday nights of where you just come in and camp out and have a good time, and it'll be sort of a party and a camp out. And so again, Planapalooza this summer, coming to Campbell Field.
All right, get all the details at the website. Gordon, thanks very much for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Thank you, Paul.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.